Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Tonight, you can catch a show at the Charles Hayden Planetarium at the Museum of Science that features laser lights, music, cosmic wormholes, and drag queens. It's true, drag queens. It's just the latest sign that the art form dominated by LGBTQ artists is moving into the mainstream. The drag show at the Planetarium, aimed at a late-night adult crowd, takes place tonight and again next month, August 9th. And you could say the show is, well, out of this world. Radio Boston's Cassandra Sunt was there for the final rehearsal and has this report.
The show is part of an experimental series at the Museum of Science. According to Danny LeBlanc, director of the Planetarium, it's the first show of its kind in the country.
Maybe in Europe there's something, but to my knowledge, I don't know of any other planetariums that have held drag shows in their spaces before.
Drag, for the unfamiliar, is a queer art form that plays with gender and usually involves a lot of flamboyant costumes and makeup. Some of the best-known performers are cisgendered men who dress up as flamboyant female characters, queens.
For me, drag is some of the most immersive types of performance that exist.
Here's James Wetzel, co-producer of adult programs at the Museum of Science, who says he's excited to bring drag into the Museum of Science Planetarium.
There's no fourth wall. They crash through that right away. And the room is set up that you're in the round. There is no stage. The stage is the room. The audience is a part of the environment.
So stunning. So stunning. Oh my God, stunning. Stunning work. Stunning work all around.
If you've seen a drag performance in Boston, you probably went to a venue like Jacques or Machine or Oberon. But in those spaces, there's a stage. But at the Planetarium, performers are surrounded by the audience.
Drag is fun, drag is cool. Who's first drag show? Oh my God, me too. Wow, drag is fun. Get ready for the next drag superstar of the world, Valencia exclamation point.
The drag queen who goes by the name Valencia exclamation point says that influences her performance.
I just want to make sure everyone is able to see me and make sure I have a set amount of time in front of each quadrant of the planetarium so I'm not like chipping people out of a performance on one half of the room, you know? I think that as long as they're entertained and, like, you know, feeling good, and then they'll have their drinks right after, it'll be a good night at the Museum of Science.
At the Planetarium, the audience of 200 people are seated in the round, with a giant projection machine in the center of the room. There are four entrances, which the queens can use for maximum effect. But up above, bright, colorful images are projected on the giant screen, providing a surreal element to the show. Performer Kaya Kristal says it's like being sucked into a science fiction movie.
Oh my God, Inception. That is the best way I can think to describe it. There's that one scene in Inception, well, there's several, where like, but the one I'm thinking of is the one where they're sitting at the cafe in the town, and then all of a sudden, like, the whole town just, like, starts to flip over on itself, and things start flying at you. It's pretty much, I mean, that's, like, the closest thing I can think to describe what you will experience without it actually flying at you.
The images range from technicolor wormholes to kaleidoscopic starscapes, which kind of makes sense. This may be a drag show, but it's still the Planetarium. Drag queens are known for gags during their performances, like death drops, a kind of split, outfit changes, wig reveals, and sometimes glitter and confetti. All of that required a bit of negotiation between the performers and the Museum of Science staff. Again, here's Danny LeBlanc, director of the Planetarium.
We have never been asked about using glitter in the Planetarium before. We have had other kinds of things like that. Sometimes we have props and we got trash cans, and we're very excited to be using for the first time in the Planetarium glitter, hopefully not the last.
Of course, that's easier said than done.
We probably need to, like, vacuum.
Do it into an aisle.
Like, I can do it into an aisle. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think let's do it. We're here to experiment, and if we have to vacuum, we'll vacuum.
If it's awful, we get yelled at.
But of course, this is really all about the music. Throughout most of the show, the performers lip sync. But Kaya is excited to close out the show live.
Normally, I get amped up by the crowd, and I love the challenge. And no tea, no shade, but I pride myself on the fact that I am a singing queen and that I can sing female songs and do them justice. I pride myself on that. So the fact that that is going to be what these people are going to be going away with makes me really proud.
Kaya says she hopes the mainstreaming of drag will show audiences that drag queens and kings are talented performers.
Hopefully, these people will understand and start to realize that drag queens are more than just dudes in dresses. There's a road
we've been traveling. And that's performer Kaya Crystal ending our report from Cassandra Sunt about drag queens and drag kings at the Hayden Planetarium at the Museum of Science. The next show is tonight. You can find more information at radioboston.org. Okay, let's move on from drag queens at the planetarium to a modern take on Mozart.
One, two, three, four.
This is the musical comedy duo who call themselves Eigudsman and Jew. Alexei Eigudsman and Jung Ki Jew are a pair of superbly trained classical musicians known for making fun of, or perhaps having fun with, the oh-so-serious nature of classical performance. This piece is called Mozart Will Survive. It's from their latest show, And Now Mozart, which they'll be performing tomorrow night at the Shalim Lu Performance Center in Rockport, Mass. A few years back, we had a memorable and raucous interview with Eigudsman and Jew, which we're going to revisit now. It was back in 2011, and as soon as they sat down in our studio for what was supposed to be a sound check, chaos ensued.
Yeah. Don't do that because you're going to upset the producers there. Oh, yeah,
they just want to get a sound check.
They just need to hear you.
They just want to get a sound check.
Place.
That's Russian-born Alexei Eigudsman playing the violin. His piano-playing partner is Jung Ki Ju. That's a Korean name, spelled J-O-O.
The whole thing? Yeah.
And when things finally settled down in our studio... Well, sort of. Eigudsman and Jew said they'd play for us, but it wasn't clear exactly what.
And if we do play together, it won't be like a piece. It will just be something very spontaneous that we just might do.
Like what?
Well, it's spontaneous, so I'm not going to say what
you,
it is.
You like...
No, it's spontaneous.
Ah, okay.
So if I tell you now what it is,
actually,
then it won't be spontaneous.
You know what could work?
No, don't tell me. It's spontaneous.
No, but we should play a little bit for them, no? To get the balance.
No, but... What, just in case we do something spontaneous?
No, because I was thinking of maybe we could do Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
Okay, let's play.
All right, good.
Maria, I just met a girl named
The Simpsons.
I want to be in America. Okay, by me in America. I want to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything's free in America. I want to be in The Simpsons. Tonight is not just an invite. Tonight there will be no morning's talk. Yes, it could. Something's coming. Something's good. If I can wait. I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty. I feel pretty and witty. Bye. To be in Maria.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alexia Guzman and Yoon Ki-ju, welcome to Radio Boston. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you very much
for
having us.
Thank you.
It's great. Now, I want to just sort of get out in front where you guys are from. Alexia Guzman, you're from Russia, right?
I am from Russia.
We'll talk more in a minute. And Yoon Ki-ju, your website says he is British but looks Korean, which I guess explains why your name sounds Korean.
Well, I'm one of the only Korean Jews in the world.
I see.
And I'm British or Korean or the other way around. I mean, it's all looksame.com anyway. So.
Yeah, Jew by name, Jew by nature.
Very good.
Okay. Now, how did you two meet?
We met at the age of 12. It's only a few years ago.
Yep.
At the Yehudi Menuhin School in England. And it was hate at first sight.
I see.
This is actually a true story. Alexa used to beat me up all the time.
Yes.
And I feared for my longevity and future heirs. So I thought, you know, I better find a way to make him stop beating me up. And so I offered him a plate of fish and chips, which is the local food in England. Rather delicious, actually.
Mm-hmm.
With salt and vinegar.
We've got some pubs here in Boston that do pretty mean fish and chips.
Fish and chips, okay.
Yeah. Mean, like they hit you?
Well,
yeah, you see?
It's a colloquialism, Alexei.
In Russia, when mean, you somebody mean, then it's not nice to the person.
And I offered him a plate of fish and chips, and luckily he accepted it. And ever since then, we've been the best friends forever, BFFs.
And Alexei,
what was that? Is that American or something?
Yeah, I'm picking it up.
He's
I'm
picking it up.
Yeah, I'm picking it up.
Isn't that some kind of like naughty term, BFF?
No.
Okay,
gentlemen, please, a little decorum. Alexei, it says on your website that you were born in Leningrad at a very young age.
I was, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure that that's clear.
That
and
is
that
correct.
You never won any music competitions, mainly because you never entered any, and I can see how that would put you at a disadvantage.
Yes. No, because you have to remember these days, you know, winning competitions, that's completely out. That's per se. I mean, you know, you've got to be a loser to be a winner.
Well, that's in. Losing is in.
Losing, you know, winning is out.
Losing is the new winning.
And yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, one of the best ways to actually, just for all the listeners, to lose competitions or auditions or job interviews, one of the best ways is just not to turn up.
That's key.
Yeah.
Don't show up.
What made you two decide to mix music and humor? I can see that it probably came pretty naturally. I'm getting this sense.
Well, we're both passionate musicians, and
what's very important for listeners and people who come to our show to know, or people who are thinking of coming to our show, is that we don't make fun of the music. We make fun with music.
Mm-hmm.
And what was very important for us, even at a young age, was we felt that the world of classical music, the world which we loved and the world which we wanted to belong to, had very little to do with the spirit in which music was originally written.
Well, it just takes itself too seriously. You got to a concert hall and you think you're going to a funeral.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? So, and we were thinking, wait a minute, the music is actually fun. Classical, a lot of classical music can even be wild and passionate, and then you have these really stiff performances, and we thought that's a bit wrong, that's not where we want to go. And so we started mixing theatrical aspects and also comedy aspects into our performances, and created this show called A Little Nightmare Music.
Well, let's hear something from that. We've got some stuff lined up. We wanted to play a clip from one piece called Mozart Bond. Do one of you want to talk about this?
I think, it's basically an argument between me and Hyunki. He wants to play Bond, I want to play Mozart, and that's what happens.
All right, let's listen just to a bit of this. There's a great visual component to what you guys do on stage. And I just want to, for people who haven't seen you, what I sort of see happening is Yunki, you're playing the piano, and Alexei, you almost have this look on your face where you're almost like being sort of dragged along, sort of, you don't really want to go there, but he's requiring you to do that with his bond there on the piano.
Yes, yes. Well, of course, it's a little bit of the feeling of one person kind of doing the crazy thing and the other one kind of trying to stay straight. Our show is a lot about things going wrong. Because, you know, when you go to a concert or performance, a lot of the times the most exciting thing is when something actually goes wrong. And our whole show is about everything going wrong, and in the most fabulous way, hopefully. And of course, it has a lot of visual aspects, which is difficult to show on radio. Also, the fact that we're both beautiful young ladies who are really just gorgeous.
Just with deep voices.
Just with very deep voices.
The surgery didn't go quite right in the tracheal department.
I didn't know if I was going to be able to get into this part of the interview, but I'm glad that you've led me there naturally.
Yes.
One of the things that I read, and I'm not surprised, is that a lot of the folks who follow you are younger folks. I mean, we think of classical music audience as being an older audience, maybe even an audience that's disappearing. You're attracting young folks to your shows. Is that something that you want to do?
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. Well, we give out candy, so
that makes all the difference, right? And iPods, right?
Yeah, free iPods. Come to our show Saturday, and you get a free iPod, maybe.
We're really going to be broke.
I like the maybe.
That was certainly part of our dream and our wish, which was to bring classical music to a newer audience and also to a younger audience. But we definitely don't exclude the stalwarts of classical music subscribers. In fact,
stalwarts. This is the first time I've heard you use that word.
It's also the first time I use it myself, and I'm praying that it means what I think it means.
I think it worked perfectly in that context.
Good. Okay. All right, I just shot it out there. Magnanimous is another word I used the other day, but I got it completely wrong. Anyway,
we're talking about young people.
Yes,
yeah, just to bring you back.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Yeah,
let's listen to another clip from A Little Nightmare Music. This is from a sketch called, and speaking of things that sort of go wrong and are unexpected, it's called Credit Card. And Yunki, this is you trying to gain access to your piano, and you hit some problems along the way.
For beginner level, please play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or press C. For medium level, please play the theme from the TV series Friends or press D. For professionals, please play the first 5 bars of the Grieg Piano Concerto.
No problem.
That was not quite correct.
What? Many people argue that classical music is an endangered species. Do you guys take that seriously? And is that sort of behind this mix of comedy and classical?
I think at some point we did, but actually I think that now classical music is at one of its most exciting moments ever.
I think music generally.
Yeah, music generally.
I think what I love, and I think I hope it's happening, and we're definitely a big part of that, is that the borders between the different styles of music are going away. Because what is
classic?
Well,
we never liked those borders anyway.
We were never interested
in these
borders,
categories that you find in record stores. Maybe the fact that the record store is an endangered species is maybe a good thing, at least maybe not for the businesses, but from the musicians' point of view.
Because you won't see those stark categorizations.
Yes, exactly.
Of music.
I mean, how do you categorize Nina Simone? I mean, there's so many artists. I mean, they're not jazz, they're not this, they're just musicians.
Exactly. And what we do, of course, it's based on classical music, but we play a lot of popular music as well, and we mix different styles, but without trying to, like, you know, just be cheap about it. It's just about accepting and being interested in different types of music.
Mm. So can you give us a taste here in the studio of some other pieces you'll be playing?
We didn't manage to. I couldn't bring my Steinway 9-foot grand here today. Because
yeah, actually, we're all sitting studio. On it. this is our Steinway.
Alexei has his wonderful Santo Serafin from about 300 years ago.
Yes, I have a very old violin here, yeah.
And he's also playing on a phenomenal bow, which you should talk
it's
about.
It's a great bow by a bow maker based in Boston, Benoit Roland. Huh. He's actually, I think, the greatest living bow maker alive.
Wow.
So that's wonderful.
Now, in one of your pieces on stage, your bow gets sucked up by a vacuum cleaner. That's not the one
I suppose.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
Exactly. So I can play you a little taste of something that might or might not happen in the show. Actually, it's a little piece that I wrote, and it's something also inspired by being interested in different types of music. It's called Funk the String.
Thank God for your pronunciation. Mm-hmm.
Alexei Igudzman and Yunki Ju are the duo Igudzman and Ju. I spoke with them back in 2011, way back when iPods were still a thing. Igudzman and Ju will be performing their latest show, And Now Mozart, tomorrow night at the Shalin Liu Performance Center in Rockport. There's more information at our website, radioboston.org. And that's it for today. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.